Now, the UK Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan has arrived in Juba to emphasize the importance of making progress in the peace process. Now, this is part of the efforts by UK to engage all parties to underline the importance of implementing the peace agreement and form the revitalized transitional government of national unity.
Now, the Special Representative for Sudan and South Sudan also supports international efforts to secure a durable and peaceful resolution to conflict between Sudan and South Sudan, as well as ending internal conflicts and encouraging sustainable development throughout both countries.
UK Special Envoy Robert Fairweather joins us in the studio. Good morning, and it's good to have you on the Mirai Breakfast Show.
Good morning. It's a real pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting me on your show.
Right. So now, briefly tell us about your visit, and is this your first time to come to South Sudan?
This is my first time. I must admit, it's been slightly delayed, and mainly because, as you mentioned, I cover both Sudan and South Sudan, and with all the happenings and goings on in Khartoum and in Sudan, I've had to spend a little bit more time there. But it's a real pleasure to be here, and it's at a very vital time.
What was your impression of the first time you landed into South Sudan?
I must admit, I've thoroughly enjoyed my visit. It's been really good. Everybody's been incredibly welcoming. And actually, I really like Juba. It's not quite what I expected.
Okay.
And I've enjoyed driving around, and Ambassador Chris has been looking after me well. And every person I've met's been really wonderful. And it's funny, because leading on to, I know the questions you'll ask.
Okay.
It reinforces the need for peace and stability. You know, the people deserve that.
Great. Now, just tell us, what is your main reason of visiting this time?
Firstly, obviously, it's because it's the job and it's the position I have. But certainly with the November deadline looming, it's within touching distance. It's very important that we speak to as many people as possible to reinforce the message that the November 12 deadline is a real deadline. And we need to ensure that everyone is working towards ensuring that we can get the unity government on that date, to allow South Sudan to move on from there. That's the whole thing. So it's been a round of calls with various different people, just trying to ensure that we're all moving in the same direction, and that's the right direction.
Right. Now, while you're here, who will you be meeting, and what issues will be discussed?
Well, I've had meetings. I met President Kiir yesterday, which was a very good discussion. Been up meeting the UN, a number of ambassadors. I'm meeting some of the SSOA this morning. So as wide a group of people as possible, and the embassy's working me hard. It's early starts and late finishes.
You said you met President Salva Kiir, and it was a very good meeting. Would you mind sharing with us some of the issues discussed?
Well, as I was saying, we're at this pivotal moment, and it was very good of President Kiir to give me the meeting, but also the amount of time he gave the ambassador and I. We were with him for almost an hour. And obviously we were asking where we were, where the government was, how they were moving forward, and how they saw things leading up to November 12. And certainly, he recognised that not everything was moving as quickly as it should do, but certainly he assured us that come November 12-13, there will be a unity government, and that is, him and his ministers, they are all working towards that, recognising that maybe not everything will be in place, and that was reassuring for us. And of course, we continue to press as everyone does that we need to keep progress moving.
And I like the emphasis there that the deadline has to be met. But now it's only 40 days left in the countdown to the formation of the revitalised transition government of national unity. What is your assessment so far?
I think, certainly, what was agreed and what needs to be implemented, we have to be honest, it's not all going to be able to be implemented. But I think from the various people I'm speaking to, I think there's a recognition that there needs to be that unity government on November 12, that everything has to be done to bring people together, recognising that all the progress won't have been made and that some work will need to continue after that. But I think the importance is, I think everybody realises that the people of South Sudan are tired. They're very tired of the continual violence. They want security. They want stability. And I think there's a recognition from everybody I'm meeting that that is the important thing. So let's get over that line, and then let's rebuild South Sudan for the people of South Sudan.
Yes, and forming the government is one. Implementing the agreement as it is for a lasting peace in South Sudan is completely a different thing. Now, how can South Sudan leaders ensure that they form a government that can bring lasting peace to the South Sudanese?
I think that the what has to happen is all the various parties have to be coming together. We need everybody to be involved in this process. And we need them to ensure that they understand that the people of South Sudan and the international community, violence is not the option. And certainly in a number of meetings I've had with various people, we have pressed very, very hard that this idea that some people may have that if they don't get their way or if things don't go well, there should be a return to fighting. That is not an option. That is not what the international community wants. That's not what the people of South Sudan want, and that's not what they deserve. And it's important that people are involved. And you just have to look at what has happened in Sudan. You had two sides there. You had the Forces for Freedom and Change. You had what was being called the opposition. Mm-hmm. You had the military. And so far, they have been able to come together to work for the greater good of Sudan. Mm-hmm. And I think the various people who are involved here in the talks, be it in Juba or outside in the various groupings, have to look at that and realise that by making concessions, by being pragmatic, you can move forward. Now, what's happened in Khartoum is not perfect. There will be problems, but they are building very firm foundations for the move towards democracy. And if you can do that there, people should be looking at themselves this morning. I think people should be looking at themselves in the mirror and saying that's what we should be doing here in South Sudan.
Right. Now, just recently, President Kiir was quoted saying that the government will be formed with or without the SPLA chairperson, Dr. Riek Machar. What is your take on that?
This came up in the talks yesterday, and President Kiir assured us that the government will be formed with Dr. Riek Machar. And I know there's been a little bit back and forth with various people following that, but certainly when we asked him yesterday, he said no, the government of unity will be formed with Dr. Riek Machar.
Yes, and the two leaders are also expected to meet next week here in Juba. How important do you think this kind of meetings?
I think it's vital, and certainly even just for the what you would say the optics. That the people are seeing the president and the vice president, and we know the history, we know the issues, that they are able to come together to discuss how best to form the government and also how to take South Sudan forward. I think that's a vital sign to the people of South Sudan that is what they want, that they are serious in this, and that if they can come together, then so can others. And I think it's vital. And I'm in regular contact with Dr. Machar, and this is one of the things that I've discussed many times with him. And certainly, for both of them, when we've discussed, they both recognise this, and that they are able to get over these sort of the hurdles and the history. Again, I think it's important, and I think we all should be ensuring that we support them in this, mm-hmm. and we give them the confidence not only to meet, but then to work together to take things forward.
Right. Now, what role is the UK and the Troika playing right now?
I'm here as part of the Troika, but mm-hmm. I think that the Troika has a very, very important role. We continue to work together on this. We continue to press international partners. We continue to work with the government and the various representatives here. And certainly the Troika wants a secure, stable South Sudan, and we will do everything we can to assist in doing that, putting pressure when pressure is required, praising when praise is required, and also working with the international community and the international organisations to hopefully get that.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you said putting pressure on the leaders and everybody to ensure that this particular implementation takes place. Well, the parties have expressed concerns when it comes to issues of, you know, like funding of the implementation process of the peace agreement. Where are we with that? I mean, is the UK and TRIGA helping in this?
We are assisting in a wide range of activities across South Sudan, certainly on the humanitarian side, certainly on the medical side. I was hearing yesterday that the amount of medicines and clinics that we are supporting, we are not funding cantonment. The government promised $100 million dollars for that. That is more than sufficient to fund the cantonment. And again, when we asked yesterday during our meetings, we understand that another tranche of money will be brought forward for that, and that is beginning to move. Again, it's been slightly slow. So across the sort of international community, various different people are doing different mm-hmm. things. And our side, the partners, the UK, is very much helping, the sort of humanitarian side.
All right. And if I may ask, why is the UK not interested in funding the cantonment areas?
Well, the money came forward from the government. It's almost, when the government said, here's $100 million, there are other areas where our money is better mm-hmm. used.
You are the special envoy of Sudan and South Sudan, and these two sister countries haven't resolved really all their issues, especially when it comes to border issues and the issue of BA. What role are you playing here, and what do you see as the way forward to settle this particular issue, particularly Abyei issues, for the people of Abyei to know their faith? What role as the special envoy of Sudan and South Sudan, and how can these two countries settle their differences amicably?
Certainly, what needs to happen is there needs to be an agreement between the two countries, and that as a diplomat, then all solutions for diplomats are that we sit down and discuss it. We discuss it sensibly, pragmatically, and that's what we will be pushing. And certainly, as the envoy, I am will be going between the capitals, discussing this issue and pushing that there are proper talks between the two governments mm-hmm. on a sensible resolution. And I think one of the very positives that I'm finding over the last few months is with the new government, with Prime Minister Hamdok in Khartoum, with President Kiir, and hopefully the forming of the government here, there seems to be good relations are building between the two capitals. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very good start. We know that President Kiir has been assisting in the peace talks in Sudan. We know that Prime Minister Hamdok visited here, etc. And I think building up that relationship mm-hmm. is a very good start to then allow sensible and proper talks.